All right, guys, welcome back. Got another interesting guest here. This is going to be as much of an education for me as it will for some of our audience anyway. I'm sure some of you people are familiar with this, but our next guest is Henry Stevens. Done some research on Nazi weapons, Hitler UFOs, and how this technology was, of course, transferred over to the U.S. later through the Operation Paperclip. You know, we had recruited a lot of the Nazi scientists, so a lot of that technology was absorbed by the U.S. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to Mr. Stevens, Henry Stevens. Welcome to the show, Henry.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I must say, this is something I've heard of before. I've been researching so many other things, I haven't really had the time to look into it. But, in fact, I do intend to get your book. I wish I had, you know, time to do that beforehand. I've been looking into so many other things right now, preparing for other shows. But, I'm really curious what it is that you found. Hitler was researching, hovercrafts or UFOs that could actually...
The Germans were looking at various technologies. I mean, a whole spectrum of really strange things. The convention didn't hold them back on anything, so... As far as flying discs went, they had maybe five separate programs going since 1940.
Now, what was the purpose of this? Stealth or maneuverability or?
Well, both those things. You have to remember that the Germans had a lot of R&D work going. And some of it just fell to the wayside. Some of it they felt they didn't need. That was always the rap on the atomic projects. They felt that initially they didn't need them, and then later on they put them in high gear. Well, same with the UFO thing. At first it was kind of novel, and they thought they might be able to attain some high speeds using this, and then it got kind of deprioritized or certainly not put on the highest priority. But then later in the war, when the Allies started bombing Germany, they started bombing the airfields, and the Germans started putting airfields in forests and on highways and anywhere they could. And then the flying disc program became very hot again because they realized they could use these things to take off from anywhere, fly up.
Without an airstrip, yeah.
Yeah, well, fly up, shoot down bombers, and fly back down.
So they had made some progress in that area.
Oh yeah, they had working models. They had we have one engineer who oversaw three projects, Georg Klein, and he claims that two of the three flew, and he, in conjunction with his boss at the time, Dr. Hans Kammler, actually put one of these projects into production in Czechoslovakia, the protectorate of Czechoslovakia. It was being manufactured shortly before the end of the war, and this particular craft was actually photographed in flight by one of the consulting engineers, Andreas Epp, and it appeared in my book on called Hitler's Flying Saucers. And appeared in Epp's book, and Epp's unique story was that he was a consultant on this particular program, was traveling to the Prague airport where he knew these things were being built, saw an unscheduled test flight in the air, and happened to have a Leica camera with him, and he took three pictures while in flight.
Any idea what kind of propulsion system these things use?
Well, they various systems for different strokes for different folks. One had the MITA project was kind of a specialty of an internal revolving engine, sort of you could think of like a huge propeller, but it was encased in a cowling, so it wasn't visible from the outside.
Sounds like a hovercraft almost.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance, from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market, but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time. Whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hey, folks, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We have our guest, Henry Stevens. You know, Henry, before we launch more into the discussion, I wanted to give you a chance, in case we get running out of time there and we don't get to do this later, to mention the title of your book. And I think it is available through it's Adventures Unlimited Press, right?
Right, Adventures Unlimited Press, which is, you can probably reach it on the internet at www.adventuresunlimitedpress.com. And I think you can see the online catalog there, and you should be able to see. I have two books there. First one is Hitler's Flying Saucers, A Guide to German Flying Discs of the Second World War. And this is just kind of an introduction to the subject, because the subject is just huge. And the second book are things that I found, or that others found, while researching this first topic. And this book is titled Hitler Suppressed and Still Secret Weapons, Science, and Technology. So there's a lot of really super strange things that the Germans were working on in that book. Some of them we know and, you know, love today, and some are just still totally unknown.
So what are some of the other weapon systems that you've discovered?
Well, just going through the table of contents, there is one that I didn't discover, but I put in the book. I translated this from a German source. Dr. Axel Stoll wrote a book, Hochtechnologien durch den Reich. And I call this the electromagnetic vampire, and it was a security system that the Germans used in their really high-value areas, and this security system would just suck the life out of a person. It would just somehow, some way, just suck the life out of a person and age them, and actually contort them into fetal positions, and they would have to be hospitalized. Dr. Stoll documents a case where this happened, and it's kind of an interesting story, so I included it, even though it really wasn't mine.
You have no idea what kind of mechanism they use. It was
well, Dr. Stoll is a geophysicist, and he has his own unified field theory. And in telling his unified field theory, he explains how life force can be just sucked out using a cage, like a Faraday cage, how this force can be sucked out of a person. At least that's his understanding of it. Besides that, we have, for instance, liquid air. The Germans bottled up liquid air for various purposes. Some were explosive, some were for energy purposes. Synthetic penicillin. The Germans came up with a penicillin substitute, a chemical, not a bacteria type of thing, but a penicillin substitute that really seemed to work in some cases better than penicillin. It seems to have disappeared. But we have the formula. I don't know what happened to it. As I say, they came up with something called synthetic blood, both plasma and whole blood, which was battle. It was used. It was operational. They were using it in the field.
It's sad, isn't it, that it usually takes warfare to be the catalyst to push for research like this, which in many cases can be beneficial, but usually it's applied for destructive purposes.
And the United States has been on a war footing since the Second World War, so you can imagine how far we've progressed in secret.
Well, didn't we recruit a lot of these very scientists who developed
them? Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Absolutely, we recruited them. We tried to recruit them, and some cases we did. Some cases the Russians got them. Some cases they went to South America. Some cases they just decided, no mas, we're not going to work at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I wanted to talk about this some more, but before that, I wanted to come back to the propulsion thing. You were talking about, a propeller was one of the models,
this was a jet-driven type of propeller, an internal mechanism. The Habermoll and Srever projects were an external, more or less an external rotor that was jet-driven and cowled or semi-cowled with a jet engine providing the driving force. Victor Schauberger came up with a totally unique system of his own involving air and just a crazy system that it would take hours to explain, and I don't even know how it works. I mean, I can only guess. It was some sort of a field propulsion system, at best guess. Maybe, who knows. It was totally unique. He built a whole bunch of machines. One of them was a flying machine. One of them was a flying disc, and he was working on that. The SS had employed him to do this. He was working on this towards the end of the war. Came to the United States. They stripped this. Some company stripped the secret out of him, and then sent him back to Austria, where he died. There were something called the Foo bomb, which we call Foo fighters, but our government calls Foo bombs, and wouldn't respond to the word Foo fighter for 60 years because they claimed we were using the wrong word. Anyway, these were turbojet roundish objects that would sort of fly up in formation and intercept Allied planes, perhaps using some sort of system to ionize the air in the vicinity of the bombers, causing the engines to short out and the bombers to crash. Then there was another system developed by another engineer, perhaps in Peenemünde, Heinrich Fleissner, and this was an SR-71 type of a vehicle. This vehicle could fly very fast, and it could go out of the atmosphere because it could be used. It could run on various fuels. It could run as a rocket. It could run as a jet. So it was quite a thing. There were at least the Germans worked on atomic projects whereby atomic energy was going to be used as an engine. And they at least looked at these in design form, and they actually brought a scientist over from Germany after the war to do studies, the weight thrust type of studies that are necessary to do with new propulsion systems. So they were looking at that. The German military was especially looking at atomic propulsion for a flying saucer. Finally, the Germans were working on truly exotic field propulsion type of projects, which actually the FBI has supplied. The strange thing about the FBI was it was cut out of the loop, the intelligence loop, so it had to get its own sources. J. Edgar Hoover was just paranoid about learning about flying saucers in general and in some instances, German flying saucers, and he amassed some of this knowledge, and it wasn't shuttled away and filed away as most of this other stuff was by the other the precursor of the CIA and Army intelligence and so on. So we have that, and they have make a pretty good case for a large field propulsion saucer, something like 75 feet in diameter, that flew in Germany.
Interesting. Do you know anything about the Schumann levitator?
Yes, I do. Dr. W. O. Schumann, who is usually referred to in this vein, worked in the technical college in Munich during the war, and he worked on batteries. And he worked on bipolar antennas, something like you would use with extra low frequency. A small group in Austria or southern Germany have concocted some of their own, well, I don't want to say fraudulent, but very questionable research using the word tachyon. Thule tachyonator and Schumann levitator, various words that, for instance, this tachyonator, this word derives from the word tachyon. Tachyon was not coined. The word tachyon was not coined until 1966 by Dr. Gerald Feinberg. Huh. So a lot of that research is a lot of those terms and a lot of that stuff, and you're going to see it everywhere. Is, in my eyes, very questionable. The fact is that the Germans did do work on field propulsion, but that whole explanation is now very suspect. And as a matter of fact, just before he died, a German researcher by the name of Heinrich Gehring and another German researcher, Karl-Heinz Zunick, got into the private archives of a former SS man in Austria, just after he died. The man's name is Wilhelm Landig, who wrote several books on this subject. And they have evidence, Karl-Heinz Zunick has the evidence now, that the Germans were working on field propulsion, but not like the Schumann levitator, this Rathofer et al. Hypothesis that is very popular. Two movies were made out of this. It was a very popular hypothesis, but one has to conclude it's only partly true.
You know, I had your buddy Jerry Smith on yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And of course, as you know, his specialty is weather modification technology. Do you know if the Nazis were engaged in any of that at all?
Well, yes. According to a guy, a writer named O. Bergmann, B-E-R-G-M-A-N-N, they were. And Bergmann gives, he's writing in German, but he gives all kinds of examples of weather modification.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought and we'll pick it up right after the break, folks. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Done to me. Lose.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Back, Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got an interesting guest, Henry Stevens, researching some of the Nazi scientific developments, hovercraft, flying saucers, advanced warfare technology. So, you were talking before the break, got interrupted there, you're talking about weather modification and its applications for warfare, obviously, right?
Well, it's claimed by this one researcher, Bergman, that this probably happened. He has a whole book on weather warfare, and it starts with the Germans, and it's a book not on weather warfare, but a large part of the book's on weather warfare, and he takes this through to the Russians and says the Russians were the heirs of this particular line of thought and went on with it. I don't really know. Bergman doesn't give a mechanism for how this happened. Bergman gives examples of soldiers on the ground, German soldiers on the ground. They were exposed and vulnerable, and Americans came over to bomb them. And you know, just as soon as they heard the engines in the distance, things clouded up and got foggy, and then the bombers went away, and then bright skies again, sunny day. The bombers came back, and sure enough, I mean, this went on a few times, and the German soldiers on the ground just assumed that they were being protected somehow through weather manipulation.
Wow. Yeah, this is something that the United States has been doing going back to that same time. In fact, Tesla was the one who developed, or at least he didn't want it used for warfare purposes, but, I mean, it grew out of his research. How much involvement was there, since they obviously had dealings with Russia? I mean, did they hijack any of Tesla's work, or...?
Well, the Germans had access to all of Tesla's work. You see, Tesla left and came to the United States. He left Yugoslavia and came to the United States, but he left a library behind. He left a lot of work behind. Tesla was actually educated in Austria at Graz. And Tesla had a bunch of German patents.
You know, was he Yugoslavian? I thought he was in Russia for some reason.
No, he was, he's either a Serb or a Croat, and I forget which, and I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm just going to say he's a Yugoslavian right now. You know, as soon as I talk to somebody, they correct me and tell me he was either a Serb or a Croat, and I get it, I don't want to tread on anybody's feelings. So, I'll just say he's a Yugoslavian, but of course the Germans invaded Yugoslavia and they got the Tesla library. And they had access to his work prior to that time.
Didn't the Russians, seize some of his work as well?
I don't know. Of course the Russians tried to seize all the German work, so.
Yeah.
It's very possible they came through it that way. The Americans were very interested in Tesla because he was working here and did some very strange things with energy and some of it good and some of it that commercial interest didn't want to hear about, evidently. But I do have a report from two German engineers, a very recent report. These two German engineers went to visit the home of Carl Schappeler. Carl Schappeler was an inventor, a German inventor who invented prior to the Nazi period and through the Nazi times. And he invented a levitation device, an energy device. And these two engineers went to explore what they could find about it. They went to Austria. So they went to the castle. This guy actually had a castle, it was almost like a Frankenstein figure, only he was an amateur physicist. And they talked to the caretaker of the castle, and they found a Schappeler museum. And they were actually able to question people and look at old papers. And they came up, these two engineers came up to the conclusion that this was, in fact, a Tesla device. And functioned in a Tesla manner. And the interesting thing, we were talking about fuel propulsion earlier. Well, this is the device that I think was actually powering fuel propulsion saucers for Germany.
Anti-gravity
is a bad word, but you can imagine, you know how a magnet, you can stick a magnet on a ceiling if the ceiling is metal?
Yeah.
I mean, it'll hold itself up. Well, if that's anti-gravity, then... So is
right. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Right, implementing some kind of electromagnetic.
I'm not sure it's electromagnetic, but it overpowers gravity. Is the point? It's able to surf on top of gravity.
Well, have you heard of this Hutchison guy up in
Canada? I've heard of him. Yes. There's another Tesla researcher.
Right, and he's made some progress in that area. There's actually several videos of his work you can download on YouTube or. I think it's cool. It's pretty interesting. He's levitated frogs and, non-metal objects.
Yeah, I guess if you get enough power, they used to say about the F4 Phantom, you get enough power, you can make a brick fly.
What is probably, for you anyway, the most bizarre research that you found the Nazis were involved in?
You know something?
We'll hold that until after the break.
Okay.
Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Henry Stevens.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back to Truth Hurts. Got our guest Henry Stevens on, talking about high-tech developments done under Hitler's watch. I'd asked you before the break, Henry, about what you think, you know, the most bizarre discovery or invention is.
You know, there are so many. I mean, I could just give you. Everybody has their different opinion as to what that particular thing is. For me, I mean, there's so many that I go from one favorite to another depending on the latest information. I can just give you some topics here. Atomic research. We have very good information that the Germans tested an atomic bomb in 1944, a fuel air bomb. If you know what that is, super metals, very super hard metals. Some exotic types of explosives, cold bombs, the bombs that actually cause destruction by generating cold rather than heat, red mercury, rail guns, these are the electric guns that use attraction and repelling forces to launch projectiles.
What was the red mercury?
Well, red mercury is... It's a whole subject in itself. Red mercury is a liquid compound of mercury. If you call a chemist and you ask him about compounds of mercury, there are no liquid compounds of mercury. they're all solids. Red mercury is something that the Russians said they invented in 1968, but there's evidence that that's not in fact true. They inherited red mercury from the Germans. And there are descriptions, including Nick Cook's description. Nick Cook is an editor for Jane's Defense Weekly, aerospace editor for Jane's Defense Weekly. And he researched the device called the Bell, Die Glocke in German, and claimed that it was a device that used a liquid mercury compound, which is red mercury. There are various formulas for red mercury. And red mercury has a bunch of different uses, but one use that's truly amazing is it's rumored to be able to, it burns at a very, very high temperature. In other words, chemically, it burns. And it burns so hot that you're able to make an explosive out of it that will detonate a fusion reaction, in other words, a hydrogen bomb.
Now, that's very interesting, because the reason I asked, I'm sure you're aware with the writings of David Hatchett Childress about the ancient Vimana craft that talked about how they were powered by the energy latent in mercury.
Yes.
And Isaac Newton even wrote about this. He was apparently aware of it.
Well, mercury is a very interesting thing, and German submarines were carrying mercury back and forth from Japan. And some of them sunk, and some of them still have mercury down there. Germans were associated with mercury. Some of the flying discs even have a mercury compartment. So it's possible...
the Vimana craft. You're kidding. I didn't know this.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, a Polish researcher, Igor Witkowski, who's a tremendous expert in this, German flying discs, has at various times said that he believes that they were powered using a sort of a mercury vapor engine, and this would be another form of field propulsion craft.
You know, I had thought that this was something that was lost, you know, that only the ancients had known about. I didn't realize that there had been... Now, is this something that's no longer being pursued, or it's no longer being discussed? Have they dropped this, or, you know, is it still being utilized?
Well, you got two questions there. First of all, the Germans sent research teams to India to get secrets that they considered ancient knowledge, the Ahnenerbe. And they, of course, sent them to Tibet also, and that was the subject of 7 years in Tibet with the Brad Pitt movie. They also send them to India, and they have the best translations of these ancient Indian texts regarding Indian flying craft. Now, as to what happened to them, well, I mean, it seems that they're experimenting with exotic flying craft at Area 51 and have been doing so for a long time.
I was going to be bringing that up soon.
And so now I don't know, but there are people that say that some of these are also field propulsion craft, and some of them link it to Germany, some of them link that to aliens. I kind of cut off at the end of the war, and I'll leave that to Michael Stratt and to other people, Nick Cook and other people that I know and trust, so to speak.
But now that you brought up Area 51, you know, not that I don't believe that there are actual extraterrestrials, but I think a lot of this, you know, these UFO sightings, I think it's just government experiments that they're keeping under wraps. Do you suppose that's what's actually been going on there, the reason for the secrecy, and you can't even basically walk within 100 miles of the place or they'll shoot you?
Well, yeah, I don't believe in aliens at all. I mean, I believe they're aliens, but I don't believe they're here. I think that, sure, there's life on other planets, and, you know, I just don't believe that life is here. I think that the life that creates UFOs is ours. And in this case, it's quite certain that the U.S. military is controlling whatever is flying in Area 51. And the only question is, where do they get this knowledge? we're assuming they're just so stupid they couldn't invent this on their own. They had to either get it from aliens or from the Germans or from Tesla or wherever, and those are all assumptions.
They would prefer that you look outside the Earth so that you don't know what's actually being done right here.
Yeah, it's, you know, the UFO world has always been smoke and mirrors and diversions and misdirection, and it's always just been a part of it. And even the Germans had an agency, Sonderbüro, Special Bureau 13, and Special Bureau 13 would gather reports from the German people about strange things they'd seen in the air, and the Germans would all volunteer this information because they thought they were helping the war effort. These were Allied planes that they were seeing, or Allied things. And, of course, the Germans at Sonderbüro knew that they were their own planes. But then they were able to gather the knowledge, and they were able to spin the knowledge back to the people and in other words, direct the whole inquiry or direct the whole topic. As a matter of fact, we still see echoes of this today, the Foo Fighter thing. The Germans were so successful at masking the Foo Fighter experimentation that you hear people in the UFO world even today say that the Germans didn't know what they were inventing, essentially. And of course, the Germans knew exactly what they were inventing. The Americans knew exactly what the Germans were inventing. But because of the German spin, it's still echoing 60 years later. The UFO world is still confused.
Interesting. You said that, actually, before I go into that, I wanted to mention, going back to our discussion of levitation technology, you know, something that Hutchinson has been working on. What do you think of the Coral Castle thing? You know, down in Florida, this guy had built this castle for his girlfriend, apparently, and I guess he died or something. But before he died, he did complete it, and he was able to move multi-ton stone blocks basically single-handedly. It was just him and this friend that had a flatbed, and he wouldn't tell them how he did it. He always told them to look the other way, and as soon as he would look back, he'd have this multi-ton stone loaded on the back of his truck.
Well, I'm familiar with it, and I've heard enough about it to believe that this guy actually did it. I just don't know how he did it. I mean, I'm as much in awe as anybody else of that.
Apparently, he was researching into Tesla-type technology and apparently stumbled onto the secret.
I don't really know. I never heard that he was into Tesla. I just was aware that he could do... He was a very slight individual. I don't think he weighed 100 pounds. And it just seems unreasonable that he would ever be able to move a truly heavy object on his own, no matter how many levers or machines he got, or even if he had a truck and a crane. I mean, it'd probably take two people to operate the crane, at least one person, you know, guiding him, and that didn't happen. So, you know, he had something going for him. I just don't know what.
Yeah. Oh, there's obviously there's technology out there that, you know, the government has access to that would just, oh, it's like the weather modification. They're doing it, and this you just need to look to their own websites, and they admit it. You know, so where do they get this? How long have they had it? How are they using it? You know, most people are totally oblivious to the fact that it's even a remote possibility. But it goes way beyond possibility. They're doing it. They have been. As to what degree is another question, but, you know, it's there. They're doing it. So you got to wonder, we're talking about the stuff Hitler developed. You know, how much of that has been known about, has been developed even more, and we're just not being told about it.
Let me give you a quick example. I have evidence, and others have evidence, that the A-10 was developed by the Germans. Now, this is the Germans developed the V-2. That was the A-4. They developed an A-9 and an A-10, which was an intercontinental missile. In other words, the A-10 was a huge rocket, and on top of it was a V-2-type rocket, and this was going to be able to hit the United States. Well, they actually developed the booster, the A-10, and at least built it, and in some accounts, flew it. Now, we were never told about the A-10. This was the biggest rocket that was built until, oh, I don't know, sometime in the early 1970s. And we were never told about this. The German scientists were told not to talk about it. In other words, what happened in Peenemünde stays in Peenemünde. And yet, now, we're able to get, through freedom of information, reports of the A-10 actually being built at Peenemünde. So if they can keep that secret, just imagine the other things they can keep secret.
Well, I mean, the Manhattan Project, look how well that was kept under wraps. How many people were involved in that?
Well, the Germans had about 6 atomic projects, and the U.S. government only wants to acknowledge 3 of them, because it's really nice to say they didn't get very far and we're just experimenting in a little reactor underground in somebody's backyard. But that isn't the story. I mean, that's just what the government wants to tell you. I have a whole chapter in the book about undervaluation by the U.S. government and the Stonewall. You can send requests to the U.S. government under the Freedom of Information, which they have to either respond and give you the information or tell you why not. And they will say, we can't find it. This goes on and on and on daily. And it, you know, during the Clinton years, I thought it was bad. But when Bush came along, it got to a stone wall. It really did. It got to where they wouldn't release anything. And the only way you could get them to release information was to take the previous information they'd give you, copy it, and say, give me the background on the stuff you've already sent me.
Not very cooperative, are they?
No, they're no. And as a matter of fact, the U.S. National Archives is not what you think it is. It is a clandestine government agency. What they do is they take the secret information from the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, and so forth and so on, that's sent to them. And these agencies send them the old stuff, the old information. And the U.S. National Archives is supposed to archive it and catalog it and file it away. Well, what they do is they declassify it, all right, and then they lose it on purpose so that you could never find it. Now it's really, it's a de facto reclassification. And, you know, remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark where the Ark gets put in storage and it's never seen again? That's the U.S. National Archives at work. That story has so much truth to it. But the thrust of the U.S. National Archives.
And if you could have a pin them down, of course, I'm sure their excuse would be all national security. But I tend to think
No. They don't go. They'll never do that. They'll only do that in a certain. They don't want to go that far. That's admitting it exists, and then you have the option to appeal.
Deny it altogether.
I had a speaking of Dr. Schumann. I requested a file on Dr. Schumann once. And Dr. Schumann was a paperclip scientist, and I had the file number. I had the box number, and I had the file number, which means they could go through their warehouse and walk right up to the box, look at the box, open the box, and go right to the number. That's how precise it was. And it took me a year and an appeal to get that file, because guess what they said then? They said, well, you're right. We have the file, but we don't know where it is. In other words, when you find them, when you catch them with the file in their hands, they put both hands behind their back and say, which hand is it in?
Unbelievable. You know, I've always wondered, there's so many, there's several Jewish groups that have been dedicated to hunting down these Nazi war criminals and bringing them to justice. How did these doctors, these scientists, manage to escape that?
Well, the question is best addressed to Dr. Kammler. Dr. Hans Kammler was the third man in the SS, and he was in charge of all secret projects by the end of the war. I mean, all truly secret projects. He had his own patent office, the SS patent office. He had his own security agency. He had his own headquarters in Czechoslovakia. He had more power than anybody at the end of the war. He also ran all the slave labor camps throughout Germany, throughout the Greater Reich. So
wow.
He's got millions of people working for him in slave labor conditions. Now, if you call, and I have, if you call the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles and say, what do you have on Dr. Kammler? They'll scratch their heads, put you on hold, come back, call you back and say, you know, we know who that guy is, but we've never been looking for him. Now, why haven't they ever been looking for him? Well, the guy disappeared at the end of the war. That's why. There are five separate reports of his death, and they're all comic book. I mean, they're all crazy reports. Nothing has the ring of truth. This guy probably was set aside by either the United States government, the Russian government, the British government, the French government, and held as sort of a repository of knowledge and never given up to anybody.
Interesting. Tell you what, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with one last segment with our guest, Henry Stevens. Be right back.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our web banner for the address.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Guys, we're back with one more segment with Henry Stevens. Yeah, Henry, before I forget here, do you have your own website that you'd like to give a plug to?
No, I tell you the truth, I don't. I don't have my own website. But I can give you an email address if somebody wants to contact me, or they can contact me through my publisher at Adventures Unlimited. My email side. Do you want the email side?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
wants to contact
I was going to give you the Adventures Unlimited, but it's a German word. It's Luftscheiben, Luftscheiben, at hotmail.com. It's Luftscheiben, at hotmail.com.
You're going to get an email now from Area 51 offering you a free tour.
Sounds great.
You know, has that thing ever opened its doors to anyone to go through there other than the security personnel? I don't think so.
I don't think so. You know, there was a report I read in a German magazine once of a visiting German pilot, and he was training in the United States, and he had engine problems over Nellis or something like that, and he had to land. And he it was an emergency. He just had to land. I mean, there was just, you know, he had to land. He landed at Area 51, and he was not received well, put it that way.
I can imagine. Probably shoot him now. A terrorist! So they just quickly booted him off the premises? And
yeah, they bundled him up, and, you know, you hear the UFO people would trespass every now and then. You get basically the same treatment. They isolate you, and they tell you you have no rights, and you're not, you have no constitutional rights here, and they make you swear you'll never tell about what happened there, and you'll never tell that anything happened there, and under penalty of whatever, and then they release you if they're going to release you, and that's the end of it.
Unbelievable.
At least that's the rumor.
Sounds like they're more paranoid about the American people finding out what's going on there than they are about foreigners.
The U.S. government's really not paranoid about, here we are after 9/11, we have the administration running around saying that there's a terrorist threat, and yet we don't seal the borders. We're at war, but we don't seal the borders. It's crazy. I mean, you know, that, the problem is you can't listen to what the government says. You have to look at what the government does. They're like everybody else.
Right. And for the longest time, that hasn't been the case. American people just go by the rhetoric, but we've reached a point now you can't afford to trust what you're told by anybody in any, including organized religion. They're lying, too. You've got to look into things for yourself, because there's a whole lot of lies that are being circulated around, and you're just going to miss the boat unless you start looking under that rug and finding out what those lumps are under there. Where do you see things going, researchers like Hutchison, do you ever see this guy getting more attention in the mainstream media? It seems like there's been a couple of documentaries that featured him, but he doesn't get much attention, does he?
No, I saw him on TV the other day, but he doesn't get the attention he deserves, put it that way.
The Pentagon doesn't even pay attention to him. He's made some fascinating discoveries. Anyway, I wish we had more time. I want to thank you. Good luck with your continuing research, and I got to get your book. I want to read up on this some more.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Tomorrow with Alan Watt, guys. Join us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people